Let me read Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, which will be our text for this afternoon's message. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. May the Lord add his divine blessing to the reading of his holy, infallible, perfect word. Boys and girls, there is a popular Christmas song that we do not sing because of its unbiblical teaching or theology. The title of that song is Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Listen to what the song says. Santa Claus is coming to town. He is making a list and checking it twice. Gonna find out who is naughty and nice. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you are sleeping. He knows when you are awake. He knows if you have been good or bad. So be good for goodness sake. If you notice, the song describes Santa Claus as a giver, as a gift giver. However, he only gives a gift to people, especially to children who are nice and good. He does not offer a gift to people who are naughty and bad. Therefore, this Christmas song calls people to be good. It ends with this exhortation. So be good for goodness sake. In other words, what the song is saying is this: if you want to receive a gift from Santa Claus, you need to be good. Because if you are bad, boys and girls, you will not receive a present from Santa Claus. Thankfully, our Heavenly Father is not like the fabricated Santa Claus. Because according to our text, Isaiah 9 verse 6, God offers His Son the greatest gift of all. He offers His Son to sinners such as we are. Yes, God the Father offers His gift, the gift of His Son, to naughty and bad people like you and me. You see, if our God were like Santa Claus, no one could receive the gift of His Son. Why? Because the Bible clearly tells us that no one is good, not even one. We are all bad. We are all naughty. Romans 3 verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And yet, God the Father gave His only begotten Son to us, despite the fact that we were bad and naughty. And so our theme this afternoon is this: God's gift of His Son. And what we will be doing with God's help is look at some of the natures of this gift based on our text. Just the first part of Isaiah 9 verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I will give you five observations about this gift. If you're jotting down, here's the first one. God's gift is a person. Now notice again what our text says, for unto us a child, not a thing or an animal, but a child. Now, boys and girls, usually when we receive a gift, it is either a thing, like a toy, or an animal, like a pet, a dog, a cat, or maybe even a fish, like goldfish. But when was the last time you received a gift, a person? So this gift is a person, a child, a child. That's why this is very, very unusual. His gift is a person, his own child. Someone has said, this is the love of God, not that he gives us something, but that he gives us someone, a living person, not one or another blessing, but him in whom is all life and blessing, Jesus himself. What child is this, says one hymn writer. What gift is this? This is Christ, the King. Haste to bring him, Lord. And so, God's gift is a person. Second, God's gift is particular. A son. Now, the first line of our text is broad, a child. But the second line is specific, very specific indeed, a son, not a daughter, but a son. For unto us a child is born, so that's broad, because when you say a child, it could be a boy or a girl. But when you come to the second line, it gets more specific. It's very particular. Unto us a son is given, and this is the Son of God, whose name is Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God's gift is particular, a son. But we can add this third observation. God's gift is precious. Why is this gift precious? Well, because God has only one son. And yet, he has not hesitated to give him, his only begotten son, to us. Unto us a son is given, for God so loved the world that he gave. That's a gift, that he gave his only begotten son. What a precious gift. God doesn't have 10 sons, and then he decides to offer one of them. He only has one son. And so this gift is one of its kind. It is so rare. It is priceless. It is so unique. Imagine this. God gave us no less than God himself. Why? Because Jesus is God. Think about that. Think about this gift that we have received from God. God gave us God because Jesus is God. So precious, so priceless. J.C. Ryle puts it this way, who can estimate the value of God's gift when he gave to the world his only begotten son? It is something unspeakable and incomprehensible. God gave us God, His own Son, the Son of God. Fourth observation, this gift is perfect. Perfect. God gave us just what we needed. We needed a Savior, and so He gave us His Son, the Savior. Someone said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator or teacher. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, salvation. So God sent us a Savior. What a perfect gift. You see, sometimes we receive a gift that's not perfect for us. I don't know, maybe boys and girls, you just received something, a gift that you did not really like. You thought it was not perfect for me. Maybe you received a pair of shoes too big on you or maybe too small on you. And usually we don't tell the giver, we just donate it to Goodwill or to a thrift store. But you see, we don't have to return this gift to God because this gift is perfect. And the reason why this gift is perfect is because the giver himself is perfect. He knows precisely what we need. Whereas we givers, and let's admit, we parents, we give our best to give a present to our children. But there are times that they don't like what we give to them. And that hurts, by the way, children. When you show that kind of expression, not content, not happy with what your parents have given to you. And you see, the reason why you will not receive an absolutely perfect gift from your parents is because your parents are not perfect. But our Heavenly Father is so perfect, and that's why the gift that He has given us is so perfect also. So we have a perfect giver. As a result, we have a perfect gift, the gift of His Son. Every good gift, James says, and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father. We have a perfect Savior, perfect sacrifice for our sins, perfect Redeemer who has brought perfect redemption to us. And so Fanny J. Crosby could sing, oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon, a perfect pardon receives. What a gift. What a gift. But I want to add this one, my fifth observation regarding this gift. This gift is presented to us. It is being presented to us. Now, boys and girls, if you go to a mall, let's say you go to a Penn Center, most likely you will see a gift under a Christmas tree. But I tell you, that gift might be empty. It's just good for decoration. It's an empty box. Just good for a show. It's just for a show, just for you to look at. It's not really a gift. You don't want to receive an empty box. But you see, this gift that we have in our text is not just for decoration. In fact, it's not for decoration. It is being presented. God is actually offering this gift not just to good people, but even to naughty, bad people such as we are. Yes, to sinners such as we are. And you might ask, how is God offering this gift to us? Well, first of all, God is offering this gift graciously. Graciously. Why? Because our text says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Now, who is the us here in our passage? Well, looking at the immediate context, this pronoun us refers to the people of Israel who at this time were living in the darkness of sin. They were very naughty and bad. Yet the prophet Isaiah proclaims, for unto us sinners a child is born. To us people who are neither nice nor good, a son is given. This is a gracious offer of gift. Let's admit this. Usually, if not always, we only give a present to those whom we like. When was the last time you gave a present to the person who hurt you so deeply? When was the last time you offered a gift to your enemy? When was the last time? Can you recall? Maybe not. The reason being because it is our nature that we only give presents to those whom we love. The giving of our gift, whether we like it or not, is conditional, not unconditional. Whereas God's offer of gift, the gift of His Son, is unconditional. It is gracious because He is offering His Son this perfect gift. He is offering this God because Jesus is God. He is offering Him, His only begotten Son, to sinners. To those who offended Him, to those who disobeyed Him, who transgressed His law, to those who by nature deserve His judgment and punishment, to those who by nature deserve to go to hell. And so this is a gracious offer of gift. You see, grace is when God gives us the exact opposite of what we deserve. None in this congregation, no one here deserves this gift because we are all sinners. We don't deserve His Son. We deserve His sentence. We don't deserve His child. We deserve condemnation. We don't deserve Jesus. We deserve judgment. And that's why this is how our Heavenly Father differs from the fabricated Santa Claus. Our God in heaven gives His gift out of the goodness of His heart, whereas Santa Claus gives His gift based on the goodness of the recipient. And that's why the song again says, be good. You need to be good or else you will not be a recipient of the gift coming from Santa Claus. And you know what's sad? And listen now, please. This Santa Claus theology has crept into many churches today. It is so prevalent in many churches today. The so-called personality theology. That somehow we think that unless we change our behavior, then we will not receive a blessing from the Lord. And how many of you, maybe you still have this mentality, when we have the Lord's Supper, you hesitate to come to the Lord's table. Why? One of your excuses or reasons is this: well, I'm not good enough. Personality theology. Or sometimes we have what we call performance theology. You say, well, I really hesitate to come to the Lord's table. And if you ask that person why, well, I have not done enough for the Lord. I have not performed enough for the Lord. But the question is this: when will you come to the point that you can honestly and sincerely say that you have done enough for the Lord? And the question is, can you actually do enough for the Lord? No. But you see, there's only one person who did enough for the Lord, for God. The Lord Jesus Christ. He kept all the requirements of the law. There's only one good person in this world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we don't come to the Lord's table because of who we are or because of what we do or what we have done, but because of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of His righteousness imputed to us by faith. And that's the only reason why we can worship Him this afternoon, why we can stand before this just, holy God, because of the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, so graciously given to us by faith. And when we think of that, when we think that this gift is an undeserved gift, then we will begin to stand in awe. Because you realize that you don't deserve salvation, that you don't deserve Jesus. Then you will bow down before God in adoration and you will say, Lord, thank you so much for this gift. For this gift. So God is offering, presenting His Son, the greatest gift, graciously to sinners. But let me add this one. He is presenting His Son to us voluntarily. Voluntarily. Because God took the initiative to give His Son for our salvation. During the time of Isaiah, the people of Israel did not ask for this gift. And even when we come to the New Testament, Mary did not ask for this gift. Joseph did not ask for this gift either. No one. And if you are honest with yourself, you never asked for this gift. But God took the initiative. He gave you the exact opposite of what you deserve by nature. Wow. Hallelujah. What a giver we have. In fact, by nature, we asked for God's condemnation and not for His child. As Joseph Hart, composer of Come Ye Sinners, Poor and Wretched, once said in his autobiographical hymn, what an amazing change was here. I looked for hell, He brought me heaven. I looked for hell, He brought me heaven. Wow, what an amazing change was here. So in conclusion, we see how this gift is a person, a child, how this gift is so particular, a son, not a girl, but a son. It's precious, It's God's Son. It's perfect. And it is being presented to us graciously and voluntarily. The question is this: what shall we do to this gift? Three things. First, take it. Take this gift. Paul says, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, what Paul is saying, this gift, the gift of God's own Son, is worthy of all acceptance. And so we need to accept, not reject. We need to accept, embrace, receive, take this gift, because this gift is worthy of all, not partial, but all acceptance. Now, of course, maybe you still have this wrong mentality that the word accept is Arminian. That's nonsense. It's a biblical expression, has been hijacked by Arminians. We have it here in our text, 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. We need to accept this gift, not partially, but fully. Fully. We need to receive Jesus in all His person, in all His being. And we do it, of course, by faith. We receive this gift by faith. Because maybe some of you philosophically might ask, but I don't see Jesus right now. Where is that gift? Well, that gift ascended into heaven. But it doesn't mean that you cannot receive Him today. You can still receive Jesus. You can accept Him by faith. By faith. And so John says, John 1 verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right or power to become children of God. Receive Jesus by faith. Same, actually, even in the Old Testament. You might ask, what's the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament when it comes to the receiving of this gift? Well, really, the only difference is this. In the Old Testament, when Prophet Isaiah made that prophecy, that gift was still in the box, as it were. It was still wrapped. They had no idea who the Messiah would be. But they knew that the Messiah would come, the one who would save them. And so even if they had no idea about the content of this box, as it were, they received that gift by faith. Now, when you come to the New Testament, the box was opened. Now we know who the gift is: the Lord Jesus Christ. It's open. It's open. The Messiah was born. He died on the cross. We know who He was. And so what we need to do is receive Him by faith. And the Bible says when you do that, you will receive the right to become a child of God. To become a child of God. Well, you might say, well, this gift is too much for me to receive. Too much. I don't deserve Jesus. I cannot accept that gift from God. I don't deserve. And so maybe because of that you feel shy, you feel hesitant to receive the gift. Boys and girls, I remember this story. In ancient history, we are told that Caesar had a friend to whom he once gave a generous gift. But when he offered it, the friend said, "This is too much for me to receive." To which the emperor replied, "But it is not too much for me to give." Yes, too much for you to receive, but it is not too much for me to give. Recently, I had lunch with a friend from Europe. We rarely see each other, and so when I found out that he would be in the area, I said, "Why don't we have lunch together?" So I took him to one of my favorite restaurants in St. Catharines, and I told him, "This is my treat. I'll pay. You order, I'll take care of the bill." So kind of agreed, although he said, no. I said, "No, I will pay." So we ordered, we enjoyed the food, and then at the end, he said to me, "Let me pay." "No," I said, "come on." I said, "This is my treat. I invited you." No, let me pay." So we were wrestling, really. And then finally he said to me, "Pastor Brian, listen, I earn far more money than you do." Really, his point was this: it's not too much for me to pay for this meal. It's not too much for me to give. Just receive this blessing. You see, our Heavenly Father is so generous, so gracious, so merciful. And He's saying to you, a sinner, "Here's my son." Yes, you might feel that this gift is too much for you to receive, but not too much for me to give. Receive my son by faith. 1 John chapter 5 verse 12 says, and listen now please, and this is very important. I don't want you to miss this. "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." You see, we must have the Son of God. We must receive Him. Why? Because God says, "He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." If you don't have Jesus, all that you have is death. And I don't care who you are. You might be the healthiest member of this congregation. Maybe young people, you feel so strong. You might be the wealthiest, the richest member of this church. I don't care. Because if you don't have Jesus, all that you have in this life is death. You don't have life everlasting. And that's why we must receive Jesus by faith. And so my question to you this afternoon is this: do you have Jesus, the greatest gift, the best gift that you can receive from God? It's still being offered today. And I tell you, the time will come that God will stop offering His Son. When His Son returns, it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. In that sense, there is an expiration in the offer of the gospel. Today, not tomorrow, not next week. Today is the day of salvation. And therefore, we must receive His Son with haste. Recently, I officiated a wedding. And usually, the bridegroom will come down the aisle to take his bride and take his bride after the father gives the formal blessing or formal giving of the bride. Usually we say, who gives this woman to this man? And usually the father will say, her mother and I. And then the bridegroom will come and take his bride. But this bridegroom, as soon as he saw his bride, he could not wait. He went down the aisle and took his wife, his bride. I did not forbid him, of course. I was actually happy. I said, wow, he's really excited. He cannot wait. But you see, there is a sense that in that context, the bride is a gift coming from the father. That's why we ask, who gives this bride? So the giver is the father, representing, of course, the marriage, the couple. But you see, we need to do the same. God the Father right now is offering His Son. Think about that. He's offering His Son, and we must receive Him, this gift, with haste before it is too late to receive His Son. So take God's gift. Second, what else should we do to this gift? Well, let's thank God for this gift. Thank God for this gift. Yes, I understand. Even if, as Charles Wesley says, even if we have 10,000 tongues to sing, it's not enough to express the gratitude that we have toward God. Nevertheless, let's thank God for this gift. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15, thanks be to God for what? For His indescribable gift, this inexpressible gift. You see, even for the Apostle Paul, there is no way that you can describe this gift. Now, boys and girls, if I come to you right now and ask you, did you receive a gift from your parents? And if you say yes, then I ask you a follow-up question. Can you describe that gift that you have received from your mom or daddy? Well, you can describe it somehow, right? But if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, can you please describe to me the kind of gift that you received from God? He would say to you, it's indescribable, inexpressible. No words can fully describe the Son of God. Nevertheless, I want to thank God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. And so we need to appreciate this gift. You know what's sad? Jesus came into His own, but His own people, His own covenant people, did not receive Him. They rejected this gift. I remember watching a video clip where the father, so maybe the wife was videotaping it. So the father handed a present to his son. And he was hoping that his son would be so thrilled about this gift. So as soon as the son opened the present, he threw it away. He threw it away. He didn't like it. He was not happy with that kind of gift. I saw the face of the father. He was so embarrassed. I don't know why they even applauded it. He was so embarrassed. Imagine what our Heavenly Father feels when you decline the offer of His Son. Imagine, whenever you reject the offer of the gospel, imagine. Do you appreciate God's gift to you? Or as we sang earlier, "Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord." Do we adore this gift, the gift of God's Son? And finally, so what shall we do to this gift? Yes, take it, thank God for it. And finally, tell others about this gift. Ironically, today, many peoples indeed around the globe are celebrating Christmas without Christ. So ironic. They are celebrating Christmas without Christ. And so, this is the best thing that we can do today. We need to share the gospel with others. We need to tell others about this gift. And evangelism can be likened to someone who is telling others about a generous giver. Let me give you an analogy or illustration. Boys and girls, let's say somewhere in St. Catharines lives a trillionaire, not just a billionaire or millionaire, but a trillionaire. That's really super, super wealthy, boys and girls. And this trillionaire person is giving $10 million to each person with no string attached. Just a generous giving. So I went and I received $10 million. I was so happy. Now, do you know what I'm going to do? I will tell all my members in our church and all my friends, all of them, I will say, guess what? If you go to St. Catharines, here's the address. You will meet a person, a super generous person, super wealthy, a trillionaire who is giving $10 million to anyone. To anyone. You see, in evangelism, that's what we do. We tell others that there is such a gracious, merciful, generous giver, this Heavenly Father, who is offering His Son for free. That whosoever receives His Son will receive life everlasting. That's what we do in evangelism. And you see, that's what we need to do today. Go, tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Catherine Henke puts it this way in her hymn, "I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own Holy Word." I love to tell the story. Do you love to tell the story of Christmas? The true meaning, the true story of Christmas. Do you love it? Do you love to tell it to others? When was the last time you shared the gospel? Maybe you still have friends, neighbors, relatives, schoolmates, office mates. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own Holy Word. Maybe they have not yet heard the message of salvation. Tell others about this gift. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the richness of your word. We thank you for your gift to us. We thank you for your son, the best gift of all. Oh, help us to bow down before you in thanksgiving, to worship you, to love you, and to hate sin more and more, to forsake all forms of iniquity in our lives. Lord, we love you. And we love you because you first loved us. And as a token of your love for us, you granted us your Son, in whose name we pray. Amen.